is a Raised Rowdy podcast hosted by Peyton Heben.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Music Biz, a Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm your host, Peyton Heben. Today is episode 19. We are joined by Ike Everard. He is a professional photographer and videographer here in Nashville, working with a bunch of country artists, doing a lot of different things here in town since he moved. But he's most known throughout this podcast for his work with Raised Rowdy, doing a lot of their content. So please welcome Ike Everard.
Thank you. It's awesome to be on here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on last minute.
Absolutely. I remember episode number one being at your apartment.
Yeah, so if you go back and listen to that, I think we were
supposed to have video. We didn't have video.
Yeah, we talked about it in the podcast, I think. I think oh, the camera's died.
It's come a long way.
Yeah, so I'm happy that we're in this studio instead of the three cameras that I paid for that apparently broke.
Yeah, that was weird.
Plugging in those Amazon chargers.
Yeah, you got to check your chargers.
But. Yeah. But first things first, you got engaged.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, so tell me about that. Where was that at?
That was in Phoenix. So me and Ashlyn, my fiance, met in Phoenix at Arizona State. And so we flew back there to Papago Park, Hole in the Rock. And I had some buddies help set up a nice little like blanket and, a sign, some flowers. And so we spent the whole day just kind of doing stuff that we would do in Phoenix. And we went out there and that's how it happened. It was cool.
How long was that in the works for?
I mean, that was in the works. The engagement itself, like proposal, was probably in the works for like 2 months-ish. Just figuring out flights and dates and having people there who we wanted to be there.
Nice.
And yeah. It went off pretty well, so.
Yeah, it seemed like it did.
She said yes. So that's what matters.
I was wondering how long of a process that was. Because some people plan for like a year. Some plan for like a week.
Yeah. It was kind of like right in the middle of that range, you know. Figuring out. I knew I wanted to do it in Phoenix, so we had to figure out what made sense, what timing worked.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Dude, I remember the first time I met you. Do you remember that?
When? At Live Oak?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you were selling merch.
I was selling merch, and you had come, and you got introduced to me, and then you were standing with me, kind of talking about what you wanted to do and, you know, everything you had going on. And just to see how much you've been involved with Raised Rowdy and all the stuff you've done is cool to see.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. I mean, and that was probably what, like fall or winter of
2022
or 2023.
Was it 2023?
It was before you moved out here full time, I remember.
Yeah, because I moved out here full time. Okay, so then it was 2022.
Yeah, so it was my first winter in town.
Yeah,
so yeah.
That must have been, I think that was October 2022. I posted a picture on Instagram. It's that selfie of you, me, Kurt, and Nick.
Yep. I think that might have been like my second round ever shooting for Raised Rowdy.
Yeah. Because,
and, yeah.
That, yeah, so that was October 2022, because I moved to town full-time in January of 23.
Right, yeah, so it's crazy to see how far like we both come since then. It's like crazy.
Because this podcast had been in the works since probably around the same time.
Yeah.
I remember I was in Fort Myers, and I told Nick, I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about starting this podcast. Like, what do I need? And because they had been doing the Brills and then the Raised Rowdy one. He was like, dude, instead of just buying new equipment, why don't you just use all the stuff we have and just do it at Raised Rowdy Studio?
Yeah, right.
And of course, I was like, well,
I'll still buy the equipment.
Yeah. Well, because my thought process was theirs was more like, I don't want to say unprofessional, but it was more a laid back environment where they had like the lawn chairs.
Right. It was at Nick's house. It was very different.
Like, yeah. And my podcast was like a business, like music business. I'm not bringing in like artists that are used to like.
Right. You're trying to bring in executives and bring in tour managers.
Like suits. I'm trying to bring in suits that want like the best of the best, like a VIP treatment.
Right.
And bringing them to the the Raised Rowdy Trap House.
The Hermitage House.
Yeah. It was. I was like, I don't know about that. So then I ended up doing it at my apartment for the first couple episodes. And thankfully, we have this now because.
Yeah, I mean, this is so cool.
Yeah, it started to get a little hard to do out of my apartment.
Yeah. But this is perfect. I mean,
yeah.
the space that they have here is just awesome. Yeah, City Limits Studio.
Yep, shout out. So tell me about when you first came to town, what you were doing before, where you're from, and all that. Just
yeah, well, I'm from Seattle originally. Mariner sweatshirt, you know, got to rep it. And then I went out to Arizona State University, and I studied sports journalism. And so I thought originally I was going to be play-by-play announcer. And I was, you know, doing that in high school. I got into some of that at Arizona State. And then my roommate actually is the play-by-play guy for the Orioles AA team. So he took it very seriously. I saw the work he was putting in, and like 10 hours a day, like locking himself in his room before calls, making his boards. I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's so much prep that you don't see that play-by-plays do. It's like, so I have so much respect for it, but I'm just like, I could never spend that much time prepping for the call. And so I was like, well, what else can I do? And so video kind of came up because I was doing a class where I was shooting football games, basketball games, making packages for the news. And I realized that I really liked just handling the camera and telling stories that way. And so then when COVID hit, I went home and I had a little DSLR. I had a little Nikon D3200, which is just like a little starter camera that I got, you know, probably 8 years before that. And I picked it back up and I started playing around with the video on there, did some YouTube tutorials, started filming my brother and our neighbors up at, you know, the lake, just like making random stuff. And it was really fun. And I started learning some effects, some editing. And when I got back to school, I just kind of started doing more creative videos and documentaries and really playing around with like the limits of journalism versus, you know, creative storytelling. And I found that I really liked the creative video more. And so other than doing sports, you know, I started getting into just marketing videos, things like that. And I realized that, you know, sports is great, but when you work in it, you kind of lose the love. And it's such a grind, and you work on holidays, the pay is not very good. So I knew that I wanted to do something with video, but I wanted to do it in a way where I could create a life that was more stable.
Yeah, on your own terms.
Yeah, on my own terms, not dictated by a league schedule. And so music became a really good outlet for that. And I also had a country music show, like a radio show on the Arizona State radio station. And so I knew, obviously, I like country music. I was like, Nashville is really popping right now. There's a lot of cool creative energy. There's a lot of people there who I can learn from. And so I came out here after college, just moved out, no job. I didn't even know anyone out here and just started shooting. And, you know, it's just kind of been a great ride ever since.
So growing up in Washington, where or what kind of music were you listening to, like in your house? Were your parents listening to country at all? Or
my mom would listen to like Lucinda Williams. So like she didn't listen to like a bunch of country, but she listened to some kind of country influenced people. And she listened to some older country. My dad listened to more like the Eagles and a lot of classic rock. He owned a club in the grunge scene, so he didn't listen to grunge, but he was very strong music background. So kind of like, we didn't really listen to country though. We weren't like listening to like, you know, Florida Georgia Line or Luke Bryan or like whatever, but we were listening to a lot of that older music. And then I was listening to like hip hop, and then Florida Georgia Line really got me into country, which is like kind of, you know, but like they're like a gateway country artist. So
yeah,
I kind of got into it that way. I was like, oh, this is cool. Like I like the stories, I like the songs, and just grew from there.
And you grew up a Seattle sports fan?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what made you go all the way to Arizona?
Well, the Cronkite School there at Arizona State is a really good sports journalism school. So That was a big swing for that. And I had done a summer sports broadcasting program there before senior year of high school. And so we got to like experience the facilities and the school and do some cool stuff. And so then that was the decision, you know, it was a really good curriculum and Arizona's awesome. So
that's in Tempe, right?
Yeah. Tempe.
Tempe.
Yep.
Tempe.
Yep.
Same shit.
Tempe's a food.
What food is it?
It's like I don't want to get this wrong, but I know it's a food. Tempe. It's like at a sushi restaurant.
Oh.
You like tempeh. Peyton's not a sushi head, clearly.
No, I don't like sushi at all. But I know Arizona State, if I'm not mistaken, it's like one of, if not the biggest colleges in the
U.S.
Yeah,
it's huge. I think UCF might be the only one that's bigger.
Yeah.
But I think when you put online in Arizona State's bigger. But yeah, I mean, it's massive. So I was downtown campus, which is pretty close to the Tempe campus, which is a little smaller, so it's kind of nice to have that community feel. And then, yeah, Tempe's right there, and it's massive. Like, you walk around, and you could walk for 30 minutes and not be all the way across.
Yeah.
was hectic.
And then was there a music scene in Arizona at all?
A little bit. You know, I wasn't even doing that much music then, though. Like, I saw like Morgan Wallen and Hardy when they were on their tour playing clubs.
Where'd they play?
That was cool. They played at a spot called the Van Buren, which is in downtown, and it's like probably like 500 people. That was sick. I mean, that was like a really, really cool show. But the biggest music scene, which is funny, is Eddie and the Getaway, actually. He went to Arizona State.
Oh, no way.
Eddie did, yeah. So I actually saw him open for Galantis, the electric, or, you know, electronic group. Saw him open for them at one of the big ASU festivals they put on because he had won Battle of the Bands. And so then when I saw him out here, I was like, oh, like, that's kind of cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I had, I mean, just being in the industry and doing the management thing, and I didn't know of really any venues in Arizona other than I think there's some in, like, Mesa.
Yeah, Mesa. There's an amphitheater. But, yeah, I mean, the Van Buren's, like, small, though. You know, it's, like, a Blue Room size. Even smaller than the Blue Room. It's, like, the Blue Room is great. It's, like, small, though, you know. And then they got a couple theaters that are small. But, yeah, really, it's arena shows and stadium shows and things that roll through there.
So what kind of teams were you shooting when you're shooting sports?
So I was doing a lot of Arizona State teams, you know, so, like, basketball. I never shot a football game, but I could have. But I was, at that point, I was doing more production. Like, I was running the studio and doing the technical directing back there. But baseball, I shot some baseball. You know, pretty much whatever popped up. Like, spring training, we had the opportunity to do. I never went out and shot that, but I did some cool alternative stuff, like this twirler, baton twirler. I did, like, a little documentary on him, and just a bunch of different, like, random stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot Arizona is a home for spring training for some
teams.
Yeah,
that was always fun. Yeah, the Mariners are out there.
Because Fort Myers, well, Florida overall, is a big hub for spring training. Right. Like, you got the Yankees, the Twins. So the Twins and the Red Sox both have spring training in Fort Myers. So you have Hammond Stadium, which is the Twins. I think it's like CenturyLink now. And then JetBlue Park, which is the Boston Red Sox. So I grew up going to those games. And
yeah, spring training is a lot of fun. It's like, I loved it because, especially in Arizona, all the stadiums are so close. They're all like 30-minute drives away. So, like, I know Florida's a little more spread out, but, like, Arizona, you could hop on the light rail and you could be at, like, three different stadiums, or you could take a little Uber out to wherever, and it's super easy to go see whatever you wanted.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about having you on this episode is that typically, as you know, I have on, like, very, like, influential business executives or people that are more involved in, like, the booking, the management, stuff like that. I had Mitch on.
Mitch works with that. Yeah,
He does a whole bunch of different stuff within the industry on top of doing the photo and video and the content. But just having you, someone that's just doing the video and photo stuff, like, it's cool because you have no history in music.
No.
But you're here in Nashville, and this could be something that leads you to something more in the industry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want people to hear your story to learn that they can come to Nashville with something like a small little dream of wanting to do, you know, if they want to do photo or video, you know, come here anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's such a great town for that. Like, when I got here, I just went out to Primetime 615 round, and Erica was nice enough to let me shoot, like, shot the round, met some artists. And it's funny because, like, artists who are on that round I work with still, like Kaylee Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Work with her. She's great. She was on that round, and there's other people too. I can't think of. Garrett Schultz was on that round. I did a lot of stuff with him. And so I just showed up, started shooting rounds for free, meeting people, making connections, and then hitting people on Instagram. And, like, I know you got some history with the DMs.
Yeah.
But, like, that's such a big tool that you can use because people are willing to help. And it's like, you can reach out to anybody and they may not respond, but, like, they might. And that's how I got in contact with Raised Rowdy. Is I got in touch with Kurt. I didn't even know he played with Luke. I just thought he was a dope photographer. I was like, these are awesome pictures. You know, I want to meet him and hear about what he's doing. And then he linked me in with Nick and Matt and everyone. And so it's a great resource.
Yeah, I remember it was late 2021, I think. And I was putting on a festival
in Fort Myers in April of 2022. And I had hit up Ray's Rowdy because I knew they did festivals. So I hit him in their DMs and I was like, hey, would love for you guys to come and shoot some content and, you know, sell merch at our festival. And they were like, well, you know, and
yeah, right.
I couldn't. It wasn't part of, like, I didn't know what all it entailed for them. Of course, I had to pay for their travel and hotel rooms right, on stuff. Yeah, and I was just like, oh, never mind. but that's kind of how I got to be DMing them back and forth and asking questions. And then eventually I had seen this guy named Brad Curry.
I feel like I've seen him.
Yeah, you definitely have, yeah. Especially being at the Ray's Rowdy House because Muscadine.
Oh, yeah,
he
right.
He sells
yeah,
merch
okay.
for Muscadine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But before that, or maybe in the early stages of that, he was writing articles for Ray's Rowdy. I was like, man, that would be such a good way to get involved with the industry more than I am.
Absolutely.
So I hit up Nick and, you know, he had me do a mock article.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, it was on Kaylee Bishop's single, Honey Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, and she's from my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
So it was all just, it was kind of cool how it all worked out. He had no idea, but, and Kaylee, I don't even think she has any idea. So Kaylee, if you're listening, my first Ray's Rowdy article was your song.
Did it get published?
Nope.
Oh, dang. We need it, though. Maybe put it up now.
I still have it, probably. I still have it in my Word documents.
You gotta dig it up.
Yeah. I sent it like 15 times and he was like, you need to fix this, this, and this. And, you know, I got better. And then eventually I just stopped. I kind of found my niche within Ray's Rowdy. But,
right.
But yeah, it's just, I reached out to them and through the DMs and
yeah.
Nick was like, yeah, just come meet me at Live Oak. And you know, that was about August of 22. So it was only like 2 months after that. I had met you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's just cool how receptive people are, especially in this town, I feel like, to, you know, people who want to get better and who want to learn and want to just be involved.
Yeah. So what new things do you have going on?
Well, I got a couple cool shoots coming up this week. Some acoustic videos. We got a lot of festivals coming up. So I love going on the road with Ray's Rowdy and going to these festivals. We got Georgia Rodeo, Auburn Rodeo, Key West. Gonna do a lot of cool content there. I'm really excited though. So I just did some photos with Cole Goodwin, who you know, Cole.
Dude,
he's so good. We got this spot called the Rainbow Bungalow, and it's like a retro living room. So it's like 70s kind of theme. I mean, you've probably seen it now. It's out. The album cover's out. The song's not out.
Mm-hmm.
But we got Josh Terry's dog and his basset hound, and we like went in the Rainbow Bungalow, and Cole spent the whole shoot trying to wrangle this dog into like position for the photos. But we got some really good stuff. So I'm pumped about that because that song is really killer.
It's gonna be huge. I don't know how the numbers will do because, like, I don't know.
Right, it's hard. You never know.
Like on that, but damn, like that's a radio song,
dude. Absolutely. And so that was a really fun shoot too because it was like Cole had a vision, and anytime an artist comes in with a vision, it's cool to help them like shape it, and then find, you know, location and find vibes that match it, and then bring it to life. And I think that was a shoot where that really happened, and that was really exciting.
I remember seeing you were golfing. I don't remember if it was in Georgia or Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And I was asking you, you came over for the podcast, and I was like, oh, yeah, who'd you go golfing with? And then you told me, it was like Josh Terry.
Josh, Cole, Will, Mosley.
Yeah.
Who's killing it on Idol and, like, yeah.
I remember you telling me this, and I was like, ah, those names don't sound familiar.
Yeah, anymore. Right.
You know, other than Josh. And then all of a sudden, I see Cole popping off, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's from Statesboro, Georgia.
Yep.
And then Will Mosley on Idol, and I was like, this all makes, like,
you're blown up. Yeah, yeah, right. And like, those are like Josh's guys, and like, it was fun to hang out with them and do some content down there. That was in Alabama. Yeah, and then we saw Cole again when we went down to Statesboro. I went with Matt and Nikki to go to Gavin Adcock and Landon Smith, and we saw Cole after that, and so he's a great dude.
Let's talk about that. Statesboro.
Statesboro's wild.
How was it for you?
It was fun. It was really cool because Landon is such a cool dude. I mean, he's like 20, I think. He's hilarious. And so he let me go up on stage with him during the show. And, you know, that crowd is electric. So he brought the Georgia Southern flag out there, waving it around. Some really great crowd shots. Like, for me, that was just awesome to be up there and feel that energy
100%
from the crowd when he walked out. And they love him. Like, they're there for Gavin, but they were also there for Landon.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that was exciting. Matt and Nick the whole time down were telling me like, oh, you're not ready, like, but I really wasn't. Like, that energy is cool.
Was that your first time
in Statesboro? That was my first time down
there. No way.
Yeah,
they were begging me to go. They were like, you gotta go.
It would have been fun.
I was like, no, I have my memories in Statesboro, Georgia are behind me.
I've left that in the past.
Yeah, I left that in the past. I'll talk about it because, I mean, God bless Statesboro, Georgia. But, like, I don't know if I could go back there.
Yeah, no.
It's like a part of me that I never want to dig up again.
Yeah, you know that was like, saying? That was Statesboro, Peyton.
Yeah, we'll just like bury it and remember it. We'll reflect on it in podcasts and whatnot when I talk to people. But, like, I don't know if I'd ever go back there unless one of my artists was playing it or something.
Yeah, right.
And even then, it's like,
I don't know. Yeah, you stay in the green room the whole time.
And yeah, that place will chew you up and spit you out time and time again.
That was insane. I think we saw like 5 fights. Like, we were up in by the soundboard and we just like watched, you know, just craziness happen.
Yeah, it's
dude, Gavin threw a beer can and it went all the way to the soundboard. That dude's got an arm on him. I was like, whoa.
So when I was there at Georgia Southern, they have, so we have like the main road. I think it's Chandler. It's either Lanier Road or Chandler Road. I think it's Chandler. And right down Chandler, you have the Blue Room right here, and then you have Greek Row.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where all the fraternities and sororities are. But right in the front is Sigma Chi. And that's where Luke Bryan and Cole Swindell were both Sigma Chi brothers at Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
So, of course, they have, like, the nicest house, and they have this fat-ass stage in the back for their parties. Cool. It's sweet. But Georgia Southern does this tradition where they're in this school bus. All the football players are in the school bus, and they take it all the way to the stadium, and they're, like, rocking it and, like, out the window, and, like, all the fraternities, and everybody's just kind of, like, partying and drinking, pre-gaming.
Yeah.
Gavin got up on, I think it was on top of the bus, and, like, shotgunned a beer or something, or, like, cracked it open and hit him together and did, like, the Stone Cold Steve Austin. And, I think he got booted off the team.
I'm pretty sure. I definitely heard he got booted off the team. I don't know what happened. That's hilarious. What that was.
The video probably is still out there somewhere.
Dude, yeah, that guy is crazy.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
But just the, I mean, I feel like I talk about it on every episode, but it's amazing to me when I chose to go to Georgia Southern. I just did it. To be transparent, I couldn't get into a Florida school with my test scores. Georgia Southern was, my buddy was going, so I just followed him there.
Yeah.
I never knew the impact that it would have on me as far as the country music scene.
Yeah.
You know, it's where I really fell in love with the industry. I met a lot of people like Hayden Kaufman, and, you know, I saw Brian Fuller, who's now killing it with that Randall King cut. Dylan Marlowe.
Yeah.
I saw Dylan Marlowe when he was opening up for someone like Trey Landon, who was also coming up.
Right.
And, you know, John Langston and Dylan. It's just, it's crazy to me to see. I saw him and his girlfriend there all the time. Dylan was playing cover gigs and he had like 2 songs out. And now he's like,
dude,
on the radio, every song he puts out.
It's such a hotbed. It really is. It's insane.
Because, I mean, you go through the timeline, you have like the Dallas Davidsons and the Luke Bryans and Cole Swindells, and then Dylan Marlowe, Brian Fuller, Trey Landon. Now you have Gavin and Landon and Cole Goodwin.
Yeah.
This guy named Ethan Gardner. Who's a? I think he's Sigma Chi there too, you know. Like,
it's crazy. It's just like nonstop flow of just like talent out of there.
Yeah, if you want to make it in country music, go to Georgia Southern.
Yeah, like literally, like Georgia Southern or Belmont. Like.
Yeah, you'll make it.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. I never thought about that. Georgia Southern official music school.
It might be. It's like the rowdy Belmont.
Yeah. Yeah, the rowdy Belmont. But yeah, so tell me some about the projects that were like game changing for you when you first moved to town, like some of the first things you worked on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so the first time I ever went on the road was like New Year's between 2022 and 2023. And so that was Garrett Schultz. He was like, hey, so this was probably 3 months after I moved to town. He flew me out to Pennsylvania, where he's from, and we did a whole video at this cool venue he did. We did a bunch of live stuff. And so that was really like a game changer for me, because I was like, okay, somebody has seen me in town for like 3 months, you know, not a very long time, and is willing to fly me out and pay me money to come shoot stuff in his hometown for him. So that was a really unique opportunity. So that was probably the first moment where I was like, okay, this is like feasible. Like people are noticing this can actually work. And so that was really cool. And then, you know, starting to do all the Raised Rowdy events was just a game changer, because I met so many people and I still meet so many people through the rounds and through Matt and Nick. And they've just been such huge supports, you know. They're such like, they're just like such rocks for me in Nashville, and it's so like such a blessing to have them. So that's been key. And then, you know, one thing that I always wanted to do when I came here was do documentaries, because I love doing documentaries. I love telling stories, and it's hard to do them because the resources that they take up and finding a story and just doing all that. But I got to do one with Kaylee, and when she was filming, or when she was recording her new project, which Hold On Honey came out of, and then she's got a bunch more coming, which all sounds amazing. I was in the studio with her filming the entire process. So we did, you know, the demos. I filmed her doing the tracks and all the musicians. And then we did interviews with her and the producer and the engineer. And so that was really cool, because that was the first piece that I put together where I was like, this is like really, you know, what I came here for. And it's like, I love doing acoustic videos. I love doing different social content. I love doing photo shoots. But like, that is like truly a passion project for me, you know. It's like putting together a documentary about someone's work and really highlighting what they're bringing to the table as an artist. So I don't think it's out yet, because I think she's waiting until the rest of the songs drop. But that is, when that comes out, I'll definitely be posting about it, because that one was a super exciting thing for me to work on.
And she did mention something about People Magazine, right?
Yeah, that was cool too. So that one, I just shot her show at Third and Lindsley, her like release show, and her publicist sent in a bunch of photos. And then she texted me. She's like, hey, your picture in People. And, you know, my name's on there and everything. I was like, that's cool. That's a pretty cool little recognition. So that was fun. And then my takeover.
Yeah.
Last week, I guess it was, yeah. Right? Last Tuesday. Matt let me take over his round. And that was special. I mean, just like, being able to book it and having so many people come out and celebrate, because my birthday was a couple of days before, and, you know, have the cake on stage and everything. That was like a dream come true, because that was like, I was like, okay, like there's a lot of people here, and there's this really cool community that, you know, has embraced my work and embraced me, and, you know, hopefully, you know, it continues. But that was very, very cool and special.
Yeah. I think what was so key for you from what I saw was just finding your group.
Yeah.
It was knowing that Raised Rowdy has your back, everybody has your back, and there's a bunch of artists that are loyal to Raised Rowdy.
Yep.
That when they see you, they're like, Raised Rowdy's loyal to him, so we'll be loyal to him.
Absolutely. Or at least we'll give him a shot. And exactly. It's like, yeah, definitely.
So then you're building this like network of artists that when they need something for a good price, yep, they're coming to you.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you've done a lot of stuff for my artists and even me. You did my headshots, LinkedIn photos and all that yep stuff. So, I mean, it's cool to see how far you've come. And I think there's a lot of cool things that you're going to be doing with Raised Rowdy, it seems like.
Dude, definitely. And like, we're constantly, you know, working on new things and how to build the brand. And, you know, hopefully I'll be working with them on some social media stuff and just various things like that where, yeah, everything can just continue to elevate.
Yeah.
Because that's the key too, is just like, you know, staying hungry. And I'm sure you experienced it too, is like, how do you continue to grow? Because mm-hmm you can be at a point, but how do you keep pushing the boundaries and keep getting better and keep it up? Because you come to town hungry, but how do you stay hungry the whole, you know,
right,
your whole career, really?
Some people get like a little like tongue dip of success.
And they're so like, okay. Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, for example, you could have been like, I didn't move to town all that long ago, and I did a takeover of one of the biggest rounds in Nashville.
Right.
And it's like that for you, that could have been like, I made it.
That could have been like, right. And then you're like, I'm good.
Yeah. And just coasted and not really, you could have been content with working with the same artist for however long. And, you know, just like,
right,
there's no growing to other artists or having these like A-listers wanting to work with you, exactly, or taking you out on the road, or
right. So it's like, how do I continue to build? And so exactly now, you know, it's trying to leverage that. And, you know, Raised Rowdy again has such great connections with mentors like Brett, who did the studio and it looks amazing. And, you know, Kurt Wales, all these people who I really, you know, am so excited to learn from and like who I continue to just be inspired by. So it's like finding those people too who are willing to like show me, you know, what they're doing and kind of just be a mentor, because that's so important. So I'm super grateful to all of them as well.
What do you think some of your, I guess, like key aspects are of networking? Some like little tricks for you that you learned throughout your first time
coming to Nashville? A little bit of beer goes a long way sometimes. loosens up the
liquid courage.
Yeah, you could like talk to more people. You could be a little bit more kind of free in an uncomfortable environment. But no, like really, it's just like meeting people authentically. You know, it's like, hey, like, you know, I'm not trying to butt in on your corner of the market. I'm not trying to like, you know, and coming in humbly. Like, I'm not trying to come in and be like, oh, like, I know best. Like, you're coming in from a standpoint of I'm ready to learn, and, you know, come up to someone who you think that their work is amazing. There's a reason you think it's amazing. And so it's like being willing to admit that your work, while, you know, you're proud of it, is not necessarily at that level. And so you come to someone, you're like, how can I get to your level? And, you know, all these people, for the most part, were, you know, in your shoes at one point. So it's approaching with like a humble attitude, I think, approaching with authenticity and just kind of being yourself and being honest when you meet people. And it's not asking for things right away, right? Like, sometimes yes. You're just making a connection to just say hi, just smile, just, you know, hang out a little bit. You're not asking for something right off the bat.
I think that's a huge point to make, because there's a lot of people in town that when they think of networking, it's going out, shaking hands, and then immediately going and being like, well, I know this person now, let me go ask them for this, you know.
And even that even extends to like emailing someone right after you meet them. Like, you might be like, okay, well, I met him, I didn't ask him at the place, but like sometimes, you know, you even got to meet him a couple times before you even ask him.
Like, you exchange numbers or something and it's like, hey, great to meet you, I was wondering if you could give me a publishing deal.
Yeah, right. Like,
I was wondering if you could listen to my Schedule A and, you know, and expect something out of it.
It's yeah, like, right.
I think that's a good point to make, because in my previous podcasts, we've talked about networking a bunch.
Yeah.
And the right and wrong ways to go about it.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. Like, for me, a lot of my networking is with independent artists who, you know, are making their own decisions on who they want to do their content and whatever. So for me, a lot of it's just establishing trust.
Right.
And finding people who I trust. Because, you know, as an artist myself, I don't want to work with somebody who is going to, you know, kind of collapse my vision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want someone who's going to, like, you know, like, I'll work with them for the right price, but, you know, realistically, I don't want to work with somebody who is going to step on my toes and make it hard for me to do what I do. And so it's about meeting people and figuring out who I gel with and then working from there. And there's artists who I'm friends with who I don't even shoot for, which is fine too, because that's kind of the way I want to go about it, is work with people who I like. If I like someone, I don't work with them, not a big deal. You know, it's just kind of like establishing a network and then being there and being able to do what I want to do artistically as well.
Yeah. And I think just kind of being around, like you mentioned, you know, you have a bunch of friends that you don't shoot for.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, or you probably have a bunch of like management, just being with Raise Rowdy. And
yeah.
Like, there's so many connections where it's like, they know A-listers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, you haven't gone and used their connections to be like, hey, can I shoot for your artist?
No, right.
And it's like Luke Combs.
Right.
You know, you don't exactly. Go to Kurt and say,
no, right.
Can I come out and shoot a show for Luke Combs and your stuff? You know, it's like, it's just kind of just building the network without asking for something.
And exactly. And then if opportunities come around, like, you know, we were in Midland and we did some really cool content with Bailey Zimmerman, because, you know, Mike Stoll was there with us. He does Bailey's tattoos, and Bailey came over to the house and we did some awesome content, you know, with Mike and Bailey. So like, that was one of those moments where it just like happened and it was really cool. And then I got to meet Bailey's photographer, AJ, who's insanely good. And like, I don't know if you've ever seen Bailey's recaps, but like, dude, his editing is insane. Like, the intros that him do, and he's got another guy, Mason, who works with him. They're awesome. So I love just being out on the road, because you get to meet all these photographers who I look up to too, and kind of pick their brains and make connections with them. And that's one of my favorite things as well.
So while we're on the topic of just being out on the road, I know you guys go to a lot of the festivals. I have yet to go to one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard with my schedule, but like, what are some of your favorite things aspects of going to the festivals? Because I know they're a little different than just being on the road because you're like camping and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so we've camped at a couple. Sometimes we'll get Airbnbs, you know, just whatever they can make happen. But we're doing more Airbnb, just which is good because it's hard to charge the camera at a campsite. But
yeah.
The festivals are really fun because, you know, I'm not shooting for an artist. So I get to really get play around and get what I want to get. And so sometimes I'll be out there and I'll get hired by the festival to do a recap or do some extra content for them. Which is great that Nick and Matt give me the flexibility to do that if that's an option. You know, and I'll get to do Raised Rowdy content. We'll do Man on the Streets, so we'll get to walk around the campsite, you know, with either an artist or a merch person, like hosting. And so it's like a bunch of really fun, unique stuff that you wouldn't get to do in town. And then I'm getting to take pictures of, you know, five artists in one night. And sometimes it's like I'll be in Rockingham and like Mike, who's one of my favorite artists ever, like I've been listening to him since he was Mike Studd, will like pull up and park right next to me, and then I'll get to shoot his show later in the day. And that was like a dream come true. So it's like all these unique experiences that, you know, I never would have thought would have been possible, you know, 3 years ago can happen at festivals. So that's why I love them.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen this happen for like so many people where it's like little tiny little opportunities, you know, you never know what could come from one opportunity.
Exactly.
Like it could be a domino effect, you know, like you take the opportunity to go to Rockingham to tailgate the Tall Boys. And, that's what that was.
Yeah, right? That was, and that one, yeah. Raised Rowdy wasn't even there. That one I met, you know, Austin through Matt and Nick, and then he hired me to come out and do the content, which was great.
Yeah. So then you, you go do that and you see Mike.
Yeah.
And you're shooting his stuff. Well, then what happens if like his guy's down?
Yeah, right, exactly. And like, you know, and I'm always making sure when I'm there, like, so I met his photographer.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I'm always making sure to meet the media teams as well, because the artists, you know, a lot of times at that level don't really care. I think Mike does. I think he cares. But like a lot of artists, you know, are like kind of removed from that side of it. But I make sure to meet their teams because, you know, yeah, you never know.
And it's like, it's the not asking for something, but exactly. Just being there. Because if you're constantly asking, you know, it's going to annoy them. It's going to turn them off. But, you know, if his guy goes down and he's sick or can't go on the road for something, family emergency, he's going to call somebody
100%.
That he knows does good work, and he's going to call you.
And another thing is, like, collaborating. So it's like, hey, like, if you need footage, send me your email. You know, I'll always get their numbers, and then I'll send them the footage. Even if they don't use it, at least they have it so they see right. it, you know? And then they got, like, a little portfolio of your work, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everything done in this industry all ties back into networking.
Yeah.
And that's why having you on, I thought was so cool, even though it's not necessarily like the country music industry in Nashville.
Right.
Like it all, no matter what you do, it all ties in.
It really does. I mean, everything is connected in this town, and that's like what you learn really quick, I feel like.
Yeah. It's just one big community.
It is.
And everyone's kind of learning the same thing. Everyone's, you know, for as big of a city it is, it's a really small town.
It is. No, it really is.
And people listening that aren't in it, that aren't from here, they're probably like, there's no way that's true.
Yeah.
Like, but everybody knows everybody, you know, it's a family here, I guess.
It is. You know, no matter like, how you can meet someone, and like, I promise you, if you meet someone who's in Nashville and is even slightly involved with music, they're going to know at least one other person that you know.
Right.
Like, there's no way they don't.
And like you had mentioned it before, where everyone's very, I shouldn't say everybody, because there are a few people like that aren't as welcoming, but mostly sure, everybody's yeah. like welcoming and being young and hungry. Yeah. You know, you can kind of go out and just.
Or old and hungry, you know, I mean, you could come in old and hungry. Right. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you can come and just network and just shake hands and just show that you care, that you're passionate, that you want to learn about. The industry and what people do. I mean, they're going to help you.
Yeah. And it's an artist town. I mean, even from the Suits perspective, like, you know, they're still there because of the art. They're still working in their own lane, mm-hmm. you know, almost as an artist. Like, there's an art to being a tour manager. There's an art to being an executive. And so they're all working for this like goal. And so, yeah, for the most part, pretty open. I feel like, to helping people out.
Yeah. And it's just, I know the entertainment industry can be very like, I don't want to say bad, but like, I mean, you know how the entertainment
industry is viewed. Yeah, it can be a little shady sometimes.
Shady, there you go. Yeah. That's a good word for it. both in like film and music, but like that's just like life kind of, you know, it doesn't mean all the people are bad. Like, you don't have to be scared to come here and be involved in the industry because is sometimes shady, you know. This isn't Hollywood though.
No.
Like Nashville, it's very, very tight knit and everybody's pretty easy to communicate with and to learn. So that's why starting this podcast and having you on, like, it's important for people that are listening to know that it all is connected, no matter if you're, you know, an A&R or publishing or you do photography, videography for people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really is connected. And like, you know, a lot of the time you're not working. A lot of the time you're just hanging out and with random people, like people will show up.
Yeah. So it is hard to say that this is not hard, but it's odd to say that this is work.
Yeah, right. True. And like, I've definitely felt that where I'm like, dang, like, I can't believe that this is what I get to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
When I was growing up, I thought every time I thought of work, you know, my parents are financial advisors and I grew up in a family of like 9 to 5, you know, granted they own their own business, but they're like, you know, in the office every day,
right,
working with clients and like that. To me, that was like, that's what work is.
Yeah.
Or work's being a firefighter, a cop, or
right,
a
yeah,
doctor, yeah, a whatever.
Pilot, whatever.
Pilot, yeah. Yeah. Just like all these, I don't want to say they're not basic, but like, you know, the routine jobs, I guess.
Yeah.
And to think now, it's like my job is sitting at a desk, but working with like people I listened to before I moved to Nashville.
Yeah, right.
And like, I mean, at Riverhouse, we have Dean Dillon.
Yeah.
Who's like, to go and listen to his stuff with like Keith Whitley and George Strait.
Yeah, legend.
The fact I'm like sitting here, or I see him walk into the office, I'm just like, what is my life?
It's crazy.
Like, I thought when I was younger, just thinking work, I'm going to have to go sit at a desk and do some boring job like my parents. But
yeah, it's really insane. And it's like yesterday, me and Ashlyn drove out to Alabama to take engagement photos for my buddy Patrick Carroll. Congratulations to him.
He just posted that like an hour ago.
yeah. So we got some cool photos coming up from that. But yeah, like just driving through like this beautiful like part of Alabama in Guntersville and just like the lake, you know, and everything, the sunset. I was like, I can't believe like, you know, just got to do this and made some money and like was there for like one of the happiest moments of his life. Like, that's special.
Yeah. Funny story about him. We're mutuals on social media. We've never met, never talked. But my dad was like, yeah, my friend or my client or something like that has a nephew or whatever the connection was, and this is his name. You should look him up and connect with him. And you know, my dad is like, since I'm in Nashville in the music industry, like anybody that knows that finds a way to like, oh, my niece is gonna go on a bachelorette party in Nashville, have him show her around, or
yeah, right,
you know. So like, I pick and choose what I listen to of him saying that. But he mentioned this Patrick Carroll guy.
Yeah.
So I like followed him on Instagram, and then I was getting my hair cut. This was like months ago. And the guy was talking about a photographer and videographer in Nashville working with like all these bigger artists. And I was like, are you talking about Patrick Carroll? He's like, yeah. How do you know him? And I was like, I don't. But that's like the second time in the past month I've heard his name.
Dude, yeah.
And then you talking about
him. He's great. Yeah, I mean, he's awesome. He's done some really cool stuff with Larry Fleet, Gary LaVox, like a bunch of different people.
That's so interesting.
He's dope, yeah.
I'm going to hit him up.
Yeah, you should.
I might have him on.
Do it. Yeah, he's a little bit older than us, I think, but he's been around in the industry for a little bit. He'd be a cool guest.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is a different animal touring with those big artists.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, he was on the road with Gary for a long time.
And with like just Gary or like Rascal
just
Flatts?
Gary, I think. Gotcha. Yeah, but I mean, he could confirm that. But yeah, I mean, he was with Gary for sure.
Yeah, that is a whole different ball game,
entirely different life. And that's like not really a life that I'm super interested in, like the touring life. You know, I'll do like weekend runs or like for a set time, but like, yeah, I'm not trying to be on the road like that, because that is a crazy existence.
Let me ask you a question though. Morgan Wallen calls you up. He says, I'll pay you and Ashlyn come on the road.
See, that's different. I would probably do that. Ash, would we do that? Yeah. Yeah. She says yes, we would do that.
But you have to be on a like a really old Sprinter van. You don't get to go on the bus.
Do we get it to ourselves, though? So we just have like a private Sprinter van?
No, security guards are driving with you.
Security guards?
The big sweaty guys.
Yeah, okay, she says yes. So yeah, we would do that. It's like that kind of opportunity or like, you know, one of my buddies here in town, like let's say like, you know, someone who I work with a lot and I'm friends with gets a spot and they go on the road, then like that would be fun.
That'd what if be, the tour's like 55 dates?
You know, we'd talk about it. We'd have to figure it out. She said if it's Caleb Shore. Okay, you hear that, Caleb? I'll come on the road with you for 55 dates. As long as she says, as long as you pay me.
No, we work for free around here.
So yeah, there is just depends on the opportunity that comes up. But like, I'm not gonna go with like, you know, a random person.
Yeah.
Likely, you know, but it obviously depends.
Yeah, I couldn't do the road life.
Yeah.
Like it's not. I'm a homebody.
Yeah.
Like especially being like a serious relationship, like you don't want to leave.
No, right. It's hard. And even the festivals, like we do, you know, Raised Rowdy, we do like whatever, 8 to 10 per summer. That's hard enough, like yeah, to leave. And those are like usually 2 or 3 days runs. Like it's not crazy.
Cause I've had tour managers on here. So, I mean, Churro, he was my first guest, right?
Yeah.
You were there for that episode. So, I mean, he obviously was out as a production manager, I think, for Morgan Wallen and that Dangerous tour.
Yeah.
And then eventually he worked his way to like not being on the road. And then JD Groover does the weekend warrior stuff.
Right.
And then you have Bo, who tour manages Corey Kent.
Oh yeah.
And he said he's been home like I think 10 days out of the year or something like
Dude,
that.
That's crazy.
Which is like
I could not. Like I just couldn't do that.
No. Especially if you're paying rent.
Yeah, right? Like,
you know, at that point, yeah, you might as well just, like, live on somebody's couch.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
For free.
Yeah.
And just live out of a suitcase and just be like, yeah, I'll be there 10 days out of the year.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So that's...
But some people love it, dude. I mean, that's, like, it's an exciting life for sure.
Yeah. It takes a different person.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It's, like, a personality thing. Like, you know, you can't...
Yeah.
Really... Like, I don't know how to explain it, but you can't really, like, just go and do it.
No, right.
Like, you have to have it in you
it's,
to be.
It's yeah, your lifestyle. I mean, that is exactly what you do. And, like, I was talking to AJ about it, like, Bailey's guy, you know, and, like, they get to fly on jets sometimes, which yeah, is super cool. But, like, they were, you know, he woke up, shot Bailey when he played College Game Day, then they took the jet down to Rockingham and played that show that night. I was like, dang.
Oh, yeah, the College Game Day was with the Jonas Brothers,
yeah,
right?
On the same day that Bailey played Rockingham that night. I was yeah, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. But just to think, you know... Like, the private jet stuff is another thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole different
it's
story.
It's another level.
Yeah,
like,
because
yeah,
you're having, like, the nicest buses, and then, right, you know, the private jets. Like, everything's luxury. That's right, a different type of
that's touring, a different type of road life yeah, than, you know, most people experience.
Like, yeah, so when I was talking to, like, Trey Lewis and them, you obviously know they went on the road with Kid Rock
yeah,
for a little bit. So Kid Rock was, like, taking a private jet in,
yeah,
playing the show, getting right back on and flying home and going to bed.
Dude,
at
that's
his house.
Crazy. Yeah,
yeah. So like, that's a different. Like, you could
different level. You could do that.
You could play 365 shows,
yeah,
in
literally,
a year,
yeah,
and live that lifestyle.
And you get to wake up at home every morning.
Yes, like, exactly. Yeah. And then do the same thing. But there's people that like you hear it all the time. They wake up and they play this show and they're saying like the wrong city
yeah,
or the wrong
right,
state, and they have no idea where they are. They're like, oh, where are we? You know, Bo, I don't remember if he said this on camera or off camera, but I'm gonna say it anyway. He's like, right before Corey goes out on stage, he says like, hey Corey, where are we? Just to make sure he says yeah, the right place, because you know, if you go out there and you say Dallas, Texas, and you're in, you know, like Richmond, Virginia,
yeah, it's not gonna go over too well.
No. Like. So it's just like, I mean, but it's crazy that people, I'm like, how do you not know where you are?
Yeah.
But when you're touring and you're playing all these different places, you just play a show, go to bed and wake up in the next city.
And it's not
just,
like you're sleeping that good either, right, especially if you're in a van or whatever. Like yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
So there's really no like, it just becomes routine of just
Yeah. And I think, like, people see, like, you know, artists who have the jets and who have the luxury to have the crazy buses. But, like, most artists that you go to see on a show, like, they're not living a luxurious life.
Yeah.
They're really out there because they love the music and they love playing shows. And that's, you know, that's what they do. That's what their calling is.
Yeah. And if you, it is a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice that's made, you know, obviously, like, I mean, Corey has a family. Corey Kent has a family.
Yeah, right.
I know his wife and his kids come out on the road with him a lot, but it's just like, that's a sacrifice that has to be made, is like being the road dog and just like
going out and touring. And he was able to move back to Texas or Oklahoma.
I think he's in Texas now.
I think he's in Texas. He's from Oklahoma. He's in Texas now. But yeah, he's able to do that for them, which is really cool. But like a lot of people can't even do that. Like it's, you know, it's hard to not be in Nashville in a lot of ways.
But just like being able to, just doing that, like being on the road all the time and doing the shitty traveling, to eventually it'll pay off to where you can be Bailey Zimmerman and you're flying in private jets.
You hope at least. Yeah, you hope it will pay off.
Because I remember I was listening to Kid Rock on the Theo Von podcast like yesterday. And he was like talking about how they were doing like the shitty club gigs. And he was just touring all the time. And it was just like the road life was shit.
Yeah.
And they were partying and it was all crazy. And then he got to the point where it all paid off. And he was flying in a private jet to the point where he could go home at
exactly
night.
And then it was cool. Yeah. But you know, like, I wonder if he ever misses those old days.
Yeah,
because there is something to be said for, like, you know, your travel, you're really bonded with your group, like that's your people when you're out on the road. And yeah, I don't know,
maybe I'll have him on, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, there you go,
Bob. Uncle Bob, if you're listening to me.
No. There we go.
Kid Rock, good guy. But so yeah, are there any festivals? Oh, you talked about Auburn Rodeo.
Yeah, that's Auburn Rodeo is coming up. That's going to be cool. Georgia Rodeo is this coming weekend.
And you're going to that one?
I'm going to that one. I'm going to leave Ashlyn at home with her wisdom teeth recovery.
No. You sick
bastard.
She's
getting them on Tuesday. I'm not leaving till Thursday or Friday. She'll survive. She said I could go. But that's the first time they're doing that one. It was supposed to happen in the fall, but it got canceled because Hardy pulled out of a lot of dates, which rightfully so. He was, you know, going through what he was going through. But so he's back on that lineup, and it's got Young Gravy, and it's got the Castellas, I think, unless they're Auburn, but I think they're Georgia. And so, yeah, it's got a really cool lineup.
Yeah, definitely Georgia, because they're from Georgia.
Yeah, yeah, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah. I have yet to go to one of those. Did you go to the Bulls, Bands, and Barrels one or whatever?
No, I haven't been to any of those yet. But those look pretty cool.
They do look sweet.
Yeah. Those look like a lot of fun. Key West, obviously.
Are you going to Key West?
No, I'll be in Orlando trying on wedding dresses.
Yeah, she's going to do some wedding prep.
Nice.
Yeah, she could have, but her work schedule is always crazy, so.
Are you going to be a bridezilla?
No, I hope not.
We'll find out. I won't. Are you gonna be a groomzilla? No, I don't care. I'm just doing what she tells me to do. Can we say that?
Yeah, say it.
Sure. She said that's her mom. It's the bridezilla.
No, they'll be able to hear back there.
That's true. They're strong mics.
Yeah,
but
they are very good mics.
But yeah, I mean, no, I'm just doing what she tells me to do and helping out where I need to help out, and trying to keep her head on straight.
This will be my first year going to Key West.
Yeah,
you went last year.
Yeah,
right?
It was great. I mean, it's so much fun, dude. It's just like Midtown is on the beach. And you're walking around and everyone is just like so much more social, you know, because you're not in town. It's warm. It's just a fun vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you've gone to Live Oak and you've done the networking thing at Midtown Red Door, it's like everybody still tries to act professional because they don't know,
you know
what everybody's
you know
vibes
watching.
Are.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And when you're in Key West, everyone's just like, we're here on the beach to have fun and like go see our artists play, but like also just get hammered.
Yeah, right. It literally is Nashville's spring break. Like that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun and it's cool. And my roommate Jerry's coming down.
Oh yeah.
He
awesome.
Just made his first appearance on the Razor Audi Instagram account. He's putting stickers up at Losers. He's gonna sell merch down there, so that's gonna be a lot of fun. And yeah, we're gonna do a bunch of content. I mean, last year I did a bunch of stuff with Trey too. For his new stuff, me and Mitch shot with him, and you know, it's just fun because all the artists want to do stuff on the beach. Like me and Callie did some cool stuff on the beach, and yeah.
Where are you staying at?
It's cool. I'll be with Nick and Matt. I don't know Airbnb? Where, but yeah, we got an Airbnb.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I got, it was last minute. So we're flying into Fort Myers on April 30th, waking up the next morning, driving 5 hours to Key West. And then, yeah, she plays that Friday.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Where's she playing at?
I forget. She's playing, it is Primetime 615.
Oh, nice.
So
okay,
it's Erica.
Yeah. Sick. Yeah, yeah.
She's playing that with Mac Martin.
Oh, cool. That'll be really fun.
So it's pretty sweet because they know each other. They've all played together multiple times.
No, that'll be great. Yeah, they're awesome too. I mean, and Erica's around, so they're fun too. So she's doing a lot of events this year.
Yeah, she is.
That's super cool.
But I'm just pumped to be down there and kind of network and just to, even if I don't do it next year.
Yeah, at least you're down there once. Are you guys staying the whole weekend too then?
Yes. Nice. We're leaving. We'll probably drive back like mid-afternoon on Sunday.
Okay,
and we're flying out at like 6 a.m. the next on Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, everything was last minute booked.
Right. Dude, it's expensive to go down there last minute.
Yeah, I got the flights pretty cheap flying into Fort Myers.
Right.
And then I booked the last room at Margaritaville.
There you go. That'll be a fun time. Yeah, that's a good place to stay.
It's like a little bit further from Duval than I wanted it to be, but it was like the last
affordable
room. Yeah.
Yeah, those hotels go crazy.
And I know River House is renting golf carts, so.
Yeah, nice. That'll be awesome. Yeah, I remember being over at the River House last year. Me and Trey went over there, and that was fun. That's where I met. It's fun because that's where I met Reed Houghton.
Yeah,
You just meet people there, and I didn't know who he was at that point, but he's awesome, dude. I love Reed.
Yeah, we just we're having a pool party this year, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be cool
if you come into that.
I might. We'll see what happens.
When are you flying in?
I fly in on the 1st, which
time?
Is in the afternoon, at 2 maybe.
So you'll be in.
I'll be in Key West around 2 or 3.
Okay, cool. On the 1st. At 5.
Oh, nice. On the 1st.
Yeah, I'll send you all the details.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's me and Ashlyn's 2-year anniversary. So.
Aww.
I told Matt and Nick they wanted to leave on the 30th. They're leaving on the 30th. I was like, yeah, I've got to wait at least for breakfast on that day. And then I'll go hit the airport.
When are you going to Orlando?
The 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Driving or flying?
Flying.
She only flies. She hates long drives. She's spoiled.
The drive to Key West, though, I'm pretty pumped because.
Well, okay, from Fort Myers.
People
who drive from Nashville to Key West are a different breed. They drive straight through. It's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Because just driving from Fort Myers, think about this, guys. From Fort Myers to Nashville, Tennessee is 13 hours. Then it's from Fort Myers to Key West, 5 hours.
Yeah.
What is that, 18
it's crazy,
hours?
Crazy, dude. Yeah. And you're driving just straight down Florida. You know, you're just like.
It's horrendous.
Insane. I know a bunch of people last year who did it who probably will do it again this year. They were, saying, they just switched off in shifts and just, 24 hours straight through or whatever it is.
I can't sit in a car that long. Maybe I got, ADHD or something, but I just can't. I'll lose my mind.
Yeah.
It's like being in a prison.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. But, yeah, it's so much fun down there.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Is there any specific content things you guys are doing there?
I know me and Jerry are going to do a bunch of stuff this year. Since he's getting his on camera on now, he's becoming a personality, so that's exciting. I don't know exactly what we'll do, but we'll walk around. And then, we got the Raise Rowdy event, so I'll be doing content at all of those. And then, if any artists are listening, you're gonna be down there, let me know. We'll shoot.
There you go.
So Caleb's coming down, I know that, so that's exciting. He's pumped for that. It'll be his first Key West.
Who is this?
Caleb Lathrop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
he's this close from.
Dude, I think so.
Being nuts, just popping
he's
off
so
like
good,
hell.
Dude. Yeah, he's close.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to get him to pop. And then, Cat Steele will be down there. Yep. A bunch of people will be down there. It's so much fun.
Is she no longer with July Moon?
No, she's not. So, yeah, they're doing their own thing. She's doing her own thing.
Are you still going to shoot for July Moon? Do you know if that's...
I don't know about that. Maybe. Probably not.
Yeah, do you want to cut that out?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably should.
But, I thought of that very last second. Yeah. I was like, fuck.
But.
Cut from here. Yeah, dude. I'm super excited to be down in Key West. And hopefully you guys will involve me in some Raise Rowdy stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to see everything that goes on down there. Because I heard about it last year with you guys.
Yeah. It was fun. And it will be fun again.
What are some of your networking tips? For Key West.
For Key West, just go down and try to have a good time. Like, honestly, like, that's what makes it so great is it's not a networking event. Yeah. Like, it can be, you know, and you'll meet people.
No exchanging business cards?
I wouldn't. I mean, you can, but I would just go down, you know, you're just hanging out with people. That's where you, like, really kind of can make friends with people. Because it's like, in town, you make friends with people. But when you're on the road somewhere, like, you really, like, get to know people. And that's where it's, like,
yeah,
everyone's on this trip together. And it's, like, a senior trip in high school. And, like, you know, you're just hanging out, having a good time. So that would be my networking tip, is just go down with the intent of, you know, just having fun.
Yeah.
And meeting new people, but not being businessy. Not being, like, a networker.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want to be walking around in flip-flops and sand, like, shorts and flip-flops and being like, here's my card.
Is it a bathing suit, like, vibe?
You can. I mean, definitely. There's people who wear bathing suits into the bars, for sure. I don't think I did. There's one beach bar that's super cool. I forget what it's called, but we went there last year, and I think Bobby Pinson hosted an event down there, and it was just awesome. I mean, like, a bunch of big people got up and sang on the stage, and it's just this little beach tiki, and you can get drinks and just walk in the water. So you just, like, hang out in the ocean and listen to music.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was curious if it was, like, if I'm popping the top and wearing a bathing suit, or if I'm just, like, wearing shorts and a t-shirt and just, like, and tennis shoes.
But you can definitely get away with either.
Interesting. I'm just trying to get a feel.
Yeah.
For the vibe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'll see pretty quick. It's however you feel. People dress in all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
But there's really good food down there too.
Oh yeah, dude. I love
Great
Key West.
Great cheesesteak place. Like, yeah.
Love Key West. I'm just super excited for the drive because I'm gonna take Tricity down. She'll go through the Everglades.
Nice.
Like through like Alligator Alley. We'll go through Miami and then down. I'm gonna stop at Robbie's in Isla Mirada.
Ooh.
Where you feed the tarpon.
Oh, there you go.
Hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
So it'll be a cool experience for her. I don't think she actually gives a shit, but I care. So.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Yeah. That's important.
But yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to plug your socials so people can reach out to you for content?
Sure.
Whatnot?
Yeah, yeah. Follow me on Instagram at ike.everard. That's ike.everard. Company's called Everard Media, but Instagram's probably the best way to reach me. And yeah, I mean, that's it. I got a bunch of work on there if you want to check it out. Yeah, appreciate it, Peyton.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening, Ike does phenomenal work. He's done a bunch for me and my artists and just a bunch of people around Nashville. So if you're looking for someone to shoot music videos and
acoustic videos, album covers,
reels,
TikTok, yeah.
And
anything.
Yeah, or just like you need
Show
some press
recaps.
Photos,
mm-hmm.
headshots for if you're an industry professional. Ike is your guy. He does not charge you out the ass like some people do. So he's very reasonable. So hit him up.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of Behind the Music Biz, a Raise Rowdy podcast. If you want to hear more from Raise Rowdy, you can visit raiserowdy.com or at Raise Rowdy on social media. Thanks again to our guest, Ike Everard. Looking forward to seeing all the great things he does with Raise Rowdy and this network. But yeah, thank you all for listening, and we'll see y'all next Tuesday.